You're listening to Kizuki, the podcast. I'm Mei Yoshikawa, and I define the Japanese concept of Kizuki as the following. Kizuki. 1. A moment of epiphany, an aha of realization or insight which opens the knower to a new dimension of truth that was formerly unknown. 2. Steps in an incremental growth of awareness, resulting in a movement from ignorance to greater awareness of the bigger picture. A kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. As a longtime yoga and meditation practitioner, a world traveler and curious self-explorer, I'm obsessed with Kizukis. Listen on each week for inspiring and enlightening stories that may just tip you over for your next aha. On this week's episode, ready or not, you are not alone. You know that old line, start before you're ready? Yeah, I've always kind of found that hard to swallow. Sure, I agree with it. And many times in my life, I've used that to motivate me and to make me take the next step. I've reinvented myself like that over and over again. Still, though, I can find it hard to swallow. Because if you don't feel ready, how are you supposed to start? But recently, I think I've started to understand this phrase in a whole new way. And I want to share with you how I got there. Right now, I'm doing something that most people would do anything to avoid. In fact, they say it's one of the greatest fears humans carry. It's the fear of public speaking. I have this TEDx talk coming up in collaboration with the University of Northern Iowa, and I have been spending my days in repetition, practice, and focus. Embodiment. Yeah, because that's what I want to do with my whole message, right? The entire thing started back when I gave a guest lecture in this course at the university. My topic was flow and integration. Afterward, the professor said, "Wow, that was great. You would be amazing at a TED Talk. Have you ever done one?" And I said to him, "No, but I'd love to. It's actually one of my dreams." And he kept me in mind, which is what led to this opportunity. When I made the application and I got the gig among some hundreds of applicants, I was thrilled, just so excited. But as the date crept closer, the fear kicked in. What if people judge me? What if I freeze on stage? What was I thinking, putting myself out there in front of all these people and then having it live forever on YouTube? Oh my God, I could feel the anxiety in my nervous system. I think the worst of it hit me early in September. But as October began and I kept practicing, repeating, refining, embodying, and asking my friends if I could run through the talk with them, if they would be my audience, I started to feel warmer, more accepted, even more ready. You know why? It was because of my friends. Whenever I ask my friends, like, "Can I practice my TED Talk with you?" Most, if not all, of my friends said, "Yes, of course, I would love that." And then we'd find time to make it work. And I'm just so appreciative of how everyone somehow manages to squeeze it in between work and schedule and kids and pickup and everything. And then I get to share my talk with them, and it's so much easier for me to get into it and embody it when I have someone like a dear friend listening to me with their full presence. And I will see that my message is carried over to them, that they're moved, touched, and sometimes just even on the verge of tears. At the end of my practice, I'd say, "Thank you so much for listening." And more often than not, they'd say, "May, it's an honor. Thank you for letting me listen." Which to me was totally unexpected. I mean, I would go into the whole thing like, "Will you please allow me to practice with you? Will you spare me your time?" And they really totally flipped the script in my face when they turn to me and they say, "No, the honor is mine." Gosh, that really just squeezes my heart. Now, for those of you who've been with this podcast for a while, you might be chuckling because you're probably remembering a few episodes ago. I believe it was an episode called Three Types of People when I practiced in front of my son. And well, he fell asleep once, and then he fell asleep again 2 days in a row. That, in and of itself, was also a very grounding experience. To my son, I'm his mom, and it doesn't make a difference to him whether I do a big speech or not. But the more I practice with my friends, the more I felt something shift in me. It was like slight, but it was like the identity of me moved from the pre-talk, fearful, anxious me to the post-talk, I'm already accepted me. Literally, my friends, their attention and their gaze that they gave to me, it was like wind at my back, like their presence and love was lifting me. I would feel it on my body, right behind my upper back, my angel's wings. And my friends would tell me, "May, you're ready. You're so ready." And I took it in. Those words, that support, landed with me. So after a few of those practice runs, I started asking myself, what is the fear really about? Where does this anxiety come from? Let's explore it. I mean, sure, I've talked more than once or twice about what if I get so nervous that I pee my pants on stage, or what if I just completely blank out or like pass out or something. But here was my Kizuki. The reason why public speaking is so terrifying, not just for me, but for almost everyone, is because it triggers deep shame. It triggers the fear of judgment. And when you really explore what shame and judgment are made of, they're really extensions of the idea of separation. The feeling that I am different from you, I am other than you, that they, the audience and the critics, are not me. And so there's this gap, this me against them idea. Therefore, they might judge me. Therefore, I might crumble in the pressure. But when I practice in front of my friends, I don't have that fear. Why? Well, of course, because they're my friends. I know that they're my people. Sure, we have our differences, but at the deepest level, I know not only are we connected, but we're made of the same essence. And then I realized that's true of the audience too. We're all made of the same stuff. So from there, I made a crystal clear decision. When I step on that stage, I am going to look at every person in that auditorium and gaze upon them like they're already my friend, like I know them and I know that we're made of the same stuff. Because we are not separate. We are not different tribes. We're all human. It just so happens to be that that's exactly what my TED Talk is about. The interconnectedness of humanity and how we access that through our Kizuki moments. So, circling back to that line, start before you're ready, we all get it too much in our heads. Yeah, sure, it feels like that at times, but it's not about forcing yourself to feel ready when you're not. I'm beginning to think maybe there's another way. There's a bridge here. What if we asked ourselves, why don't I feel ready? What's the fear really about? Because I want to say 9 times out of 10, very close to 10 out of 10, there's going to be some kind of impression of separation there, whether it's between you and them, you and your truth, or what you're about to say versus what you really want to say. There's going to be some essence of separation there. And if you can find your way to what that separation is about and dissolve it, you will feel ready, even in your imperfection. In fact, your imperfection is going to be exactly what makes you uniquely you, something to be celebrated. Because here's the thing. I know that for me, when I perceived the audience as separate from me, energetically, I wanted to put on an armor, right? Protect myself, perform to perfection, and be safe somehow. But I realized none of that is my purpose. My purpose isn't to be the best TEDx speaker in the world. My purpose is to be the most clear, honest, resonant version of myself so that I can take my favorite idea, this message I believe is worth spreading in all the world, and to give it my best shot at making that resonance come to life, be real. And that's enough. That's all. So maybe that old line is true. Start before you're ready. But also, you're not alone. You never were. Thank you for listening. I have a special announcement. At last, we're holding an online Kizuki journaling session in English. It's happening soon, on November 11th, 2025, in the evening, for those of you in North America, and on November 12th, 2025, at 11 a.m. Japan Standard Time. It's a short 45-minute program, and everyone is welcome. To be the first to receive details and registration info, sign up for my newsletter at kizukijournaling.com. That's KIZUKIJOURNALING.com. A recorded archive will be available for everyone who signs up. But if the time works for you, I would so love to see you live on Zoom.